Well, let's turn tonight to Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 4. And again, one of the many themes that we see in Hebrews is it's better. And I have to admit, as I've been just studying Hebrews, it just gets better and better and better. But again, we saw in chapter 1 how Paul presents Christ better than the angels. In chapter 2, he continues that thought of our precious Redeemer and how he became sin for us. In the third chapter, we see that he's made better than even Moses was. And last week we saw, especially in that third chapter, the sixth verse, all the way through the 19th, how that is our true growth in grace. And what God has for us in these scriptures is just a marvel. And the importance of belief, the importance of faith in our life. And that, again, is another theme all throughout the Word of God, but especially in Hebrews. We're going to get to the faith book of fame here, Lord willing, you know, in a few weeks or so. But in this fourth chapter tonight, we're going to read about resting by faith. And only rest comes by faith in Jesus. So let's read that fourth chapter together, and then we'll get into it. It says, "Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached." And really notice as we're reading through here, when Paul is speaking again of us, meaning obviously including himself, or we, which would include himself, or when he refers to them. Very important again. Who is he speaking to? What is he speaking about? "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest." That's us by the grace of God this evening. "As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How precious. They're just such marvelous, just marvel upon marvel in this book, isn't it? Hallelujah. So many wonderful things. But again, resting by faith in Jesus. And in verse 1 we read, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And Paul obviously here is speaking to himself, and he's not fearful of losing of his salvation, but the fear is as the fear that is seen, and I'd like to turn there briefly in Philippians 2:12. This is the fear that Paul is speaking of here. And again, how many times as we were reading about brethren there in chapter 2, how that word brethren, as you saw in the Greek, was the same word in the Greek as Philadelphia, the brotherly love. So look at all of the wonderful themes of the high calling that comes out of this book. But that's in 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. And notice that, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, they already have this salvation. It's your own. And work it out with great care and circumspection of the heart. That's what he's talking about. To will and to do of his good pleasure. You think about those things, it's studying to show thyself approved. To be a worshiper. As I was visiting Sweet Sister McGuire today, is just the thankfulness that comes out of a life to God. That is truly working out our salvation. It pours out of our life, the Word of God. The thankfulness to God, the worship to God, the ultimate, the complete sanctification that we can have in Christ Jesus. How precious. And those that miss it or miss this best, it was because, again, as what we read in the second chapter, because of neglect, because they let these things slip. As we see these Philippian saints or these saints of Philadelphia, they always obeyed even when Paul was away. Think about that. Now our pastor's gone on to be with the Lord. I believe we're going to obey the word. How's that? I was thinking of that. And even more so by the grace of God, out of his presence. He's having too much fun on the other side. He can't be worrying about these things. Hallelujah. How that speaks to us. Let this speak to us. Again, this was Paul. I want to be one of these saints. I think we desire to be one of these Philadelphia saints. That's what this time, this is what this age is about. The best that we can have in Christ. Allowing God's full will to be performed in our lives. Notice next, the promise. And what a promise. Hallelujah. Standing on the promises, I was thinking of that wonderful song. How many promises there are for us in the Word of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, all the promises in the Bible are for us. And they're not. There's promises for the Jew. There's promises for the Gentile. There's promises for the disciples. But there is promise that we can have. That's a mystery that's being revealed to us at this time. Isn't that wonderful to know? And that's a promise that is the ultimate of the age. But again, this was a promise not as Moses or even his covenant, but it was the best, the better, a covenant with Christ entering into his rest. And that rest is God's rest. Just as he had on the seventh day, and we'll repeat that theme again and again. We saw that in the third chapter. We're going to see this in the fourth chapter again. But it's how God rested on the seventh day after it was finished, after it was done, after it was completed. And again, that's a theme that needs to be repeated and repeated across our heart again and again. That it is done. It's finished. It's not wood, hay, and stubble. It never was. It's a precious stone in his son. And that's what we're after, by the grace of God again, to understand that it's been completed in him. Read verse 10 and 11, which we'll get to. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. How much clearer does it have to be? We are justified by faith. It's not about works. We'll get tied into those things in our life and we won't grow in grace. So there's no rest in self-righteousness. And again, this is more than just a rest of salvation to the sinner. It's precious when we come to know God as our salvation, Jesus Christ, that we know that we have everlasting life. That's a precious thing. But this is talking about even more so that this is the faithfulness and the faith that we can have in the gospel that brings the rest. Verse 3, it says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And it's at that moment when we will seize upon God's promise of this rest, it happens. And we're there. Now our minds and our weakness and our unbelief will take us out of there, won't it? And then, by the grace of God, His wonderful, loving wooing will bring us back in. So, we're going to get to that mercy seat sometime, Lord willing. Whether it's tonight, probably not. But this is where it's all leading up to, is that throne of God. That we would dwell there and participate in that promise that He has for us, which is this great rest. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26:3, you might just write that down. Again, it says, actually, let's turn there. I just love reading that full verse anyways. Isaiah 26:3. And this is about the perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And everybody ends it there again. Because why? He trusteth in thee. Isn't that awesome? That's Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. There's no neglect in that verse. There's no slippage in that verse, is there? There's confidence. It's a promise. It's something that we can live our life in. We can dwell in. No matter what's going on in our life. No matter what the storm is. By the grace of God, again, our mind being stayed on Jesus Christ. It's a peace that passes understanding that is there for us. Talk about the treasures. You cannot buy peace. People talk about peace. Countries talk about peace. But the true peace that this is about is something that's free. It's unmerited. But it's ours and it's promised to us in belief. Hallelujah. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. Aren't you glad you're in us? By the grace of God, we're in us. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Very self-explanatory there, noticing the us and the them. But it's confirming to the believers, the followers of the truth, that they rest. But it's sad that most Christians, they don't rest because they live in unbelief. There's a certain part of your life as a Christian that will not rest if you don't receive the full gospel. It's true. Think about from the very beginning. If you think about this. If at salvation, at that moment, if you get caught up into this legality thing where you can lose your salvation, right from that moment, you are completely at unrest. How could I ever rest if I think I could lose my salvation? How could I ever grow? I couldn't appreciate God fully in what He did in His Son. Okay. We get to the monumental truths of the Word of God. We talk about the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, we understand in John that the Holy Spirit was a necessity to us to lead us into all truth. He told the disciples, He said, He's been with you and He shall be in you. And they dwelt with Jesus. There's many things I want to tell you, but you can't understand them now. And I was standing there with you, giving you the Word, and I am the Word. How can you miss that? There's a difference. There is a better, and then there's the best. That's what we're after, is the best. But they were there to see that. They were there to see the Word. They touched the Word. They handled them with their hands. But yet, I must go so the Comforter may come, so that you can be led into all truth. That's for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you left and you sent your Holy Spirit to me. Praise God. But if you don't get that, how can I enter into the rest of really knowing what the real fruit of the Spirit is? Knowing when we go through these great trials, knowing we go through these things, when we're pressed out of measure, that it's for our unsearchable riches in Christ. Hallelujah. Then those that are saved and filled, that don't go on to see the bride. Do you see the complete rest that we have? By the grace of God, a person that truly sees that we can win Christ, has a rest beyond. Because you see it as His Father did. Do you see what His Father did? The seventh day He rested. It was done. And He says, I know my Son's going to come and He's going to finish the work. That's God's rest. That's the rest that we're after. Makes you kind of feel bad when you don't rest, doesn't it? Felt bad a few times today. Okay. All right. He's still working on me. Hallelujah. But it's in unbelief when we don't rest. There's no profit in hearing the word unless it's mixed with faith or belief. The gospel truly is worthless without faith into someone that is not accepting the word of God in belief. I loved Bible literature. It was great. High school. It thrilled me. A certain time, you know, to hear the word of God. But I could see the ones sitting around. There was no faith mixed with it. It didn't do any good. You think about those things. What is our faith? Our faith is Christ. And again, you think about it, and we've heard this many times, but He is the author. He wrote it. He wrote your faith. Aren't you glad that He wrote your faith? I'm so glad He wrote my faith. Because it's beyond my imagination and thoughts and possibilities of what that faith could really be and what it can give to me. And He's the finisher of it. So see, He authored it in your life, and now you're living that life by faith. And He said that He would finish it in your life too. It's a precious thing that He is the author and finisher. Now, again, you think of the religions that use the word. There are many religions that will use pieces, passages, different things of the word. I was talking to a man today about Mormons. He said, first thing I ever saw when I walked into, we were driving through Utah, Salt Lake, and I just had to see the, temple, tabernacle, whatever it is, the amusement park. It was there, and they had these big gates, and you walked in these gates. And the very first thing you see there, if anybody's ever been there, they have a big, huge placard. It's huge. Letters almost as big as me. John 3:16. It's John 3:16 when you walk in them gates. They don't believe anything about John 3:16. They believe about Jesus. And I tell it to my Mormon friends. I have Mormon friends. You believe about Him. You believe that He's a prophet. You believe all these things. But you don't believe He's the power. You don't believe that He is Christ, that He is God in the flesh. And if you miss that, it's profitless because it's not mixed with faith. He is our faith. Do you see that with any of the religions? If He is not the faith of that belief, you have nothing. There's one way. I tell you the story about how the one little missionary boy was, I shouldn't say he was a boy, he was older than I was, but he was arguing with me and started yelling at me. They had to drag him away. Kind of interesting that day. It was an interesting day. But however Christ is preached is rejoicing. But I want you to understand, that is not however Christ is preached. That isn't. Because it's not mixed with faith. Do you see the difference? The faith has to become part of the word to make it work effectually in our life. Hallelujah, the belief. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We believe and we commune with Christ. And we commune with God through Christ and we have rest. It's sweet rest. The Bible tells us that we have His yoke, if we want it. We have His yoke. We have His rest. Hallelujah. We have His wings that lift us up. It gives us a pardon for sin. He is the peace of our conscience. This world we're in today doesn't have a conscience. It's a seared with a hot iron conscience, isn't it? You see the things. I was just thinking, you know, not just for young people this age, for my kids, what's out there? It's sad. The paper I was reading about now, the cell phones that carry all the disgusting things. I thought the computers were enough and the TV. Now they can actually send it to you on a phone call. Reprobate minds. The evil of man will wax worse and worse. Don't let them fool you out there. There's a form of godliness going on. It's good God, good devil, as we've heard. Good everybody. We're all going to join hands. I don't want to join hands with Lucifer. I don't want to do that. By grace of God, we're going to stand for the truth. Increasing and abounding in grace is what this is. This is about joy of the Holy Spirit. Our confidence in Him to finish the work. Again, it's a choice of spirituality all the way along. And it's that same spirituality, it's that same faith by the grace of God that He works in us from the very beginning moment that we take Him as our Savior for our walk all the way along. I feel like I'm growing up in Him all the time. I really do. But all along the way, it's faith like a child. Isn't it? Because that's complete belief. You know, I could tell my kids, yeah, you know, I play quarterback for the Denver Broncos. They would believe me. Not now. But, you know, two or three. And not that God lies to us. But it's that faith like a child. I believe in Him. And it's impossible for God to lie. Thank you, Jesus. To have that in our lives, to have that confidence. Isn't that precious to know that He's going to do exactly in your life what's supposed to be there? Hallelujah. What a promise. If we'll yield and believe. This is, again, resting with belief. Verse 4. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Again, this is the precious rest that's seen in Genesis 2:2. We've talked a little bit about it. It's God, and He is still resting today. And again, that's the rest He wants us to enter into, because God sat back and realized that it was good. He's very humble when He said that, wouldn't he? I realize it's good. It's perfect. It's good. Now, how much more about His Son? To stand back and say, Jesus, it's so good. Thank You for letting us be part of it. Don't know why. You got the ages to tell me. And then we still won't even get to that. But thank You that You gave me the opportunity to believe You. He's waiting. God is waiting to hand Him the throne and to set everything up in Him. And to complete it. Verse 5. And in the place again, if they shall enter into My rest, we'll go on to 6 as well. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. This place is truly God's rest. Christ's mind and peace. And that's the beginning of ceasing from our own works, as we're going to read in verses 9 and 10. And we've seen that little slogan. We've heard our pastor say it many times, of letting go and letting God. It's stepping out in faith. I used to remember there was that one little movie. I don't know if you all saw it. I used to kind of like Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford, and see some of the ladies smiling now. But I used to like to watch that. And I used to remember that one where he was going after the Grail or whatever it was. And remember where he had the little saying or map or whatever it was, the treasure map, and he had to step out in faith, basically what it was. And there was this big chasm, and you could see the doorway where he wanted to go, but it was like bottomless where it dropped off to. So he's standing there, and these guys are behind him, you know, they're going to kill him and all that kind of thing, and, you know, here he's got to go. And so finally he just makes a step, and it looks like he's going to fall about, you know, 450 miles. But right when he steps, there's the bridge. And that's what Christ wants to do with us. We're stepping out in faith. There's evidence. There's substance to it. Don't ever think that there's nothing there. I don't want to make light of it. It's there. But we don't see it sometimes. But you know it's there. You know that He is for us. That He will never leave us helpless. Thank You, Jesus. God promised it. And we which believe have rest. It's guaranteed. It is. If we believe, we enter into that rest. I love how it says it there. Some must enter therein. If I believe, I'm going to enter. I must. I'm going to possess it. I'm going to walk around in it. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to rest. Okay? We're going to get to that. And I keep just, and I love it. I love how the Lord has me drawn to it. We're going to get to that throne in the 16th verse. But that's where He's talking about. That's where He's drawing all of this to, is right there with His Father, right there with Christ. When you say the name of Jesus, know you're in the throne room. It's, again, just that moment. Hallelujah. Now, the Jews, it was first preached. Galatians 3, let's turn there, verse 6 through 10. And this is speaking of Abraham. Chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So again there, and I'm sure we all understand this, is that it was the same for them back then. They had to believe. Believe in that coming of Christ. We look back. They look forward. But it was the same wonderful, great sacrifice that saved them as does us. Now ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed with them. Hallelujah. We are blessed with Abraham. Thank you, Jesus. Again, to first preached. Hebrews 11:31. Now think of this. This is about little Rahab. She was wicked like them. But look what happens here. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Hallelujah. She believed and she was immediately set apart, wasn't she? Even though she was with that muck, she was set apart in belief. Now, I think most all of us here tonight, I don't know if there isn't anyone. If there isn't, you should accept the Lord as your personal Savior. It's a wonderful thing. Best thing you'll ever do. But we, as children of the King, the moment that we mention that name Jesus, we're right back in the throne room. I don't care what you've done. He doesn't care where you've been. Because you know what? He said he forgot it. When we understand that, that's when we appreciate what he's provided for us. It doesn't make me want to go out and sin. People say that, oh, it makes me want to go out and sin. No, I want to go out and live for him. He draws me with his love. His great benefits towards me. Just so thankful, aren't you? Isn't that precious to know? Because you will fail. Paul said, don't let sin reign in our lives. But be drawn back by that love. And the moment, just the moment, that you say, Jesus, you're in the throne room. Be there. Let him take your mind there. Let him take your heart there. Hallelujah. We are set apart in that rest, in that peace, in our everyday walk. Verses 7 and 8. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? God is great in mercy. And he speaks of even a greater rest than that of Canaan, which, again, this Jesus is actually Joshua when he led them into the promised land. But in this, there's a greater meaning in this. And in God, in his infinite mercy of dealing with this, there's a limit to his dealing. We've, again, heard that, and it's a horroring story that Brother Hill would tell us about that man that was sitting in the back of the church all the time. He finally just come up to him and said, well, why don't you go on down? He said, well, I missed the time. Can't even imagine. But there's a day. There's an appointed time for salvation. But even think of us and God dealing with us. And he's faithful and he's merciful. But if we keep turning him out and continue to go down our way, he'll allow it. But we don't have that kind of time. He's coming. It's about here. And why would you want to waste it anyways? Think of the peace and the rest that you have. Especially, you know, young people. I appreciate you. Think of the peace and the rest you have. Think of the peace and rest you have coming out of camp. That's about the best time I'd ever feel. Oh, I'm high and mighty in the Lord. I love that. You can have that. And it's not feelings. And sometimes it's higher. But there's the consistent joy in the life that Christ wants to have in us. Hallelujah. So whether it's a sinner for salvation or even a child that's growing up in him, he calls and calls. And what does the Word of God say? It says, his sheep know his voice, don't they? Hallelujah. But the choice to follow, the choice to believe, again, it has to be heeded. Think about chapter 2. We're talking about God's best. And it's still by grace. It's still ceasing from our own works and believing Him to take us into that rest, the godly rest that He wants us to have. But when I'm resting, that's when I'm feasting. When I'm a Martha, I'm not getting it. When I'm a Mary, I'm seeing everything. I'm looking right up in His eyes. And I'm just sitting there. I don't care what all the ridicule they're telling me. Oh, you believe too much. Oh, you're too hard. Or you believe in that separate stuff. I do. And I don't have to do it. I just rest and He takes care of the rest. It's kind of neat. I rest and He takes care of the rest. He does, doesn't He? Hallelujah. Okay. So again, we don't want to waste our lives by the grace of God because it may be too late. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. After all it's said and done. And in any situation, in any trial, in any sorrow, in any emergency, I love that word, remaineth. Isn't that kind of funny? If you really think about it. Because it's again talking about our weakness. Because it's kind of like, okay, you blew it again, you failed, you're freaking out, you have unbelief, all of these things, but you know what? I'm remaining here. There's a remaineth. I abide faithful. I'm always there. Hallelujah. How precious. Always remaining, always present. There's always help. There's always peace right there. And it's rest for the people of God. Okay, now think of what we've read in this on all of these chapters here. There's a difference with the people of God and just being saved. This is talking about dwelling in your home. Remember Moses? Okay, when he was talking about back there, about I want to be a house that God dwells in me. Now, I am a person of God. I have a testimony. I have meaning. I have a life. I have a calling. I can hear His voice because I am a sheep that is following Him. You see the difference? Such a precious thing. Thank you, Jesus. And again, it's the godly rest is in the Sabbath in Genesis 2:2. The people of God enter into His rest. It was completed. It was finished. The work was good and God rested. He's resting today because His Son has completed it. And by the grace of God, He wants us to partake in that, that we are resting in His Son. Again, notice the people of God. This is referring back to those who allow Christ to be the occupant of their home or body. And this is talking about a true heart knowledge. A true heart knowledge. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of the gospel in true spirituality, which gives us rest. This isn't talking about feelings. This isn't talking about pumping it up. This isn't talking about trying to work something up. This is the true worshiper, okay, that believes, that worships in spirit and in truth. And when you get the Spirit all over your life, that's why the Holy Spirit is so important. He'll lead you into all truth. You need to yield to that, yielding your life to the teacher, to Christ. He allows the Holy Spirit to be the teacher to woo you into the love of God. That is where, by the grace of God, He again wants us worshiping in spirit and in truth. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Put that to heart memory. Because whenever you are not resting, when you're wrestling with something, that's it. That is absolutely it. That he that has entered into his rest has also has ceased from his own works. So to the point, so evident. We rest, we grow, we have peace by grace. How many times over and over in the Word of God, Romans 1:7, Ephesians 1:2, 1 Corinthians 1:3, it says grace and then peace. Grace brings the peace. Grace brings peace. If you don't have grace, you don't have peace.
you don't have rest. See how it just ties in and keeps tying in with itself? How could we get into self-righteousness? How could we think that we could have any merit to God from ourselves? Do you see how insulting that is to God? It is. Because why? He rested in the finished work of His Son. Okay? Thank you. But we must enter in again if we believe. But it's a choice of yielding, dwelling at the feet, as we earlier said about Mary, a worshiping of it is finished, the complete confidence in Christ. And grace is the key. Ceasing from self. Resting in the Scriptures. Do we believe God's Word? Do we believe the promises that are here for us? It's that simple. Maybe I'm just in the office just talking to myself. I know you're quiet that way, and I know you're listening. But I just think there is, you know, I kind of look at you and I love you so. And just kind of looking at me and saying, well, I know that. But I mean, it really just hits you. It's like, you know, if I just believe this, I can just step right there. I'm over here, and I know it, and I've heard it 4,000 times from my mother, and my grandpa and grandma, and thank God I have, but I just can't get there. And it's just belief. I just accept it and said, that promise was for me. That's more real than anything that ever could be, is that promise that is in the Word of God for me. Just, that's the simplicity in the gospel. I sit back in there and I'll, you know, my mind wanders off for a moment. The enemy gets me about something. Oh, I'm worried about. And it's like, oh, believe. Believe this. Hallelujah. It's right there for us. We can so easily mess this up, though. The legality. That's really what gets back in. It's our pride. Lots of different things. Again, whether it's the beginning of salvation, thinking that we can lose it. It's fear, isn't it? How could you? And again, we get off into thinking, and it's going to happen. It will happen to you. Thinking that, well, for a moment, man, I really did this nice thing. Well, there was pride. You see? And again, we don't live in fear with that. And we don't live in fear with, oh, I've got to keep doing all these good things because that's how I'm going to get favorable to God. But that's fear. And notice it's fear and fear and fear and fear, isn't it? But perfect love casts out all fear. And the perfect love that Christ has, it's never ending. It's always there. It's never earned. It's only appreciated. And that is grace. That's the grace of God. That's the faith that we should have by His grace in His faith. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I love how he said, cease from your own works to get the rest. But then the very next verse he says, well, let us labor. Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen. People will come to you and they'll say, well, look, we have to labor to enter into the rest, lest any man fall into unbelief. They'll pull that verse out. Know your Bible. A workman, right? Rightfully dividing the truth. Know your Scriptures. I want to know them more. We want to know them more. That's why we're here tonight. To be uplifted by the Word of God that works effectually in us. But that's what they do. That's what Satan did to Christ. He tried to pull things out and use the Word and turn it around. No, that's not right. Nope, that's not right. Nope, that's not right. And then he leaves. But he'll be back. He'll be back. He's very faithful about being back. Devil's always there. He's always going to do his work. All right? But how ironic that is this labor to enter into the rest. And again, what is the labor? Read the thing. What do we read? It's faith. The labor is faith. Faith needs to be worked in our lives. Isn't that something? That we have to work to believe? Because we naturally don't do it. We naturally fear. We naturally fret. We naturally worry. We naturally do all the things that are anti really what
This is, isn't it? Isn't that funny how he made us that way? I'd have to talk to God about that. But he would have got us to the point of being so dependent, relying on him, to see the great need that we have in his son. How much he loved us. What he wanted to take us to. And you can see your life transforming in Christ all the time, can't you? It's precious when others see it. But you know what? It means so much to me because I know what I am without him. I know I am what I am by the grace of God. Because I know what a wicked creature I am. I'm not trying to scare you, but you better know that about yourself too. Or you're never going to get there. You know what a wicked creature you are. There's nothing good in you. There's nobody that seeks the Lord. It's him that gives you even that faith. Because this falling away, again, when we fall, it's unbelief. It's a lack of faith. Again, it's the confidence in ourselves. It's not accepting the truths and the promises that are contained in the Bible. And again, what happens when that happens, as we talked about earlier today, those prominent truths that are in the Word of God, whether it's being filled with the Holy Spirit or being saved or whatever it may be, you fall. When you wrestle with the Scriptures, you're shaken. You don't stand. You run, you flee, you do these things. No, it's God that protects you. But believe. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. We'll close it up here with just this 11th verse, but I have a few things I'd like to say. Galatians chapter 4, let's turn there. You guys are wonderful listeners. Makes me nervous. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding you. 4, verse 9 through 11. It says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Now that's us too. Remember that. It's not because you're special because you go to Living Waters, or you're special because you're special or whatever it is. It's because of Christ. Know that. Know, again, who we are. "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Go over to chapter 5, verse 4. "Christ has become of no effect unto you." Think about that. These are Christians. "Christ has become of no effect unto you? Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Don't get caught up into those things. Be alive in him. Live the grace of God. That's living alive. "Who hath bewitched you, you foolish Galatians?" Don't fall from grace. What an inheritance we have in that. That's going to grow us up and win him. That's going to grow us up and win him. "All in vain, all that teaching, all that preaching that he did, all for naught. They should have been feasting on the meat, and now they're back to the milk." And that even says that in Hebrews, where we just were. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Look at what it said there. We're going to get to this. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles or the oracles of God." We've got to go all the way back to the beginning. "And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Grow up in him in grace. Praise God. 10:38, Hebrews 10:38. "The just shall live by faith." There is no pleasure to God in unbelief. There isn't. It is impossible to please God without faith. Guess where that is? Hebrews 11:6. It's all here. Wasn't he merciful to give us so many books of the Bible? He only needed to give us one. Many times he only needed us to give us one verse. Isn't it great how he loves us? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for bringing us here tonight. We just thank you for being here, being faithful to us, Lord. We're a needy people. We're weak, but we're so ever strong in you. Thank you for your great love. Thank you again for the beauty that you bestow upon us in seeing your son. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.